All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. Ladies, let's talk real talk here. You probably have days when the PMS has you feeling like you could eat anything in sight. My goodness, the cravings and the general discomfort. Well, say goodbye to those days with Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth. Let's dive into why Hormone Harmony is not just another supplement, but a true game changer. First off, it's not just a trend, it's a phenomenon. Social media is buzzing with women singing praises about Hormone Harmony. In fact, a bottle flies off the shelves every 24 seconds. Can y'all believe that? Now let's talk about Happy Mammoth, the brilliant minds behind this wonderful product. They're all about making your life easier, and that means no compromises on quality. They've meticulously crafted Hormone Harmony using only science-backed ingredients proven to work wonders for women like us. But here's my favorite part. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, nature's little miracle workers. These herbal extracts help your body adapt to life stressors, especially those pesky hormonal changes that can throw us off balance. And here's the kicker. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. It's your secret weapon against those hormonal imbalances that can wreak havoc on your life. From hot flashes and night sweats to racing thoughts and low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back. And yes, it even tackles the occasional bloat and that not tonight boo feeling. The real benefit here, the real win, feeling like yourself again. That's why countless women are raving about it in over 17,000 glowing reviews. We love a verified product, honey. Now here's your chance to experience the magic firsthand. For a limited time, you can get a fabulous 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BRAVADO at checkout. So what are you waiting for, homegirl? Say hello to balanced hormones and goodbye to those days of feeling like a roller coaster. Your journey to hormone harmony starts now. This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Blacker Bravado Podcast,
a motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down to have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, mental health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, when we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our intention is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, boo-boo babies.
New year. Same bitches.
We did not even plan to say the new year.
But that's what it is.
New year, okay? It's ain't no new us. It's the same us.
We made it.
Hey.
To 2021.
It's kind of like, oh shit, we made it.
We made it,
nigga. We made it.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome. How's your new year?
So far, I only been here 3 days. I just got here.
Yeah.
But so far, it's been good.
Yeah, it's been relaxing.
How yours?
Relaxing. I relaxed into the new year.
Same.
I relaxed. I turned. Never mind. Get that to you on Patreon.
But you know what I will say for the new year? I'm a fan of curating your own experience with an intimate group.
Yeah.
Or person or whatever that looks like for you, and not relying on other people for the activities, because
it's the self-sufficiency for me.
That for me too.
It's the self-sufficiency for me.
So new year, so far so good, but you know, we're taking it day by day. We ain't touching nothing. We just came in and we sitting down hoping for the best.
Yeah, but I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy too.
God rose me up out of my bed.
So you had a good weekend?
I did have a good weekend. I mean, shit, we're well into the week now at this point.
I know.
But it's good.
It's only Tuesday.
It's good. Tomorrow's going to be Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's good.
But we're here.
We're here. What's up with it?
Well, new week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with a wee.
So it's 2021 and niggas still doing stupid shit.
Fuck shit. What's that?
Fabulous.
Go ahead.
Fabulous decides to come on to the internet and post a picture of him and his ting, Emily. I was about Emily to call her Molly. Emily, they've been together for years. How long they've been together? Like over 20 years?
For a long time.
Long
enough for him to be calling.
Long enough for them to have three kids.
And for him to be calling that oldest one. What's her name? Tiana? Tanea? Whatever.
Whatever her name is.
His daughter. Yeah.
His seed.
Yeah. So,
this is what he says. Fabulous posts a picture of him and Emily on New Year's Eve and says, it's a picture of them boot up. And he says,
boot up.
I know the cool of this generation is being savage and not giving a fuck. And all the rap songs say money over everything. And everybody is sleeping with somebody else's man or woman. But for real, having a partner to love, share life with, raise a family together with, and make each other better is real goals. That's the real cool. That's really winning. Love you, Emily B. Now my thing with FABOLOUS is,
come on,
bruh, first of all, you late.
Right.
We've been here.
I don't want this message from Fabulous. I want it from a LeBron. I'll take it from a LeBron James. Someone who's been loving on their partner and having someone to share life with.
I also want it for someone who didn't knock Emily's teeth straight out of her mouth.
Like, what?
You done beat my ass. I done had to get my ass beat.
The trauma bond. It's
the struggle of.
Like, what, nigga?
It's the struggle of. It's that part that makes me like, Fabulous, I don't want to hear this from you. And I don't want it. I don't want the repost of Fabulous. Like, he just screamed something from mountaintop that was just, whoo, mind blowing.
Something to write home about.
First of all, it's basic because this woman has been in your life, showing up for you, raising your kids. I'm sure taking care of your home for years.
Yeah. Playing the background for years.
And now, today, in 2021, you've just had this revelation where you want to talk about what other people
are. And what the new generation is lacking. Nigga, 2 years ago, you bust her teeth up. Her fucking veneers were on the ground.
So take us on that journey. Take us on the journey of what you had to go through to see that was wrong.
Of redemption.
Own up to that. Let's talk about that since we're talking.
We want the story of redeeming.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
Yeah. That you know what he needs to be saying?
What?
I misvalued and I devalued for a lot of years that I didn't take, you know, what is that called?
Appreciation.
You know, when you don't.
You didn't know what you had.
Yeah.
What was in right in front of you.
Is that. Okay, speak to that and then the process of learning to appreciate.
Yeah.
Like that this woman has been by my side through right and wrong,
right,
thick and thin.
Yeah.
When people said this about me, she still right, thought about that. And now I have come to appreciate.
All right. And I still don't want a nigga like that.
I don't either. But nigga, talk from experience.
He has to do a little more than what he did.
Shit.
In order to get any of my praises.
We will take that from a LeBron James. Even like, you know, Kobe Bryant. I'm not going to speak about Kobe. But I'm saying like a good man, good husband,
somebody that
man.
Don't got no smut on their rep. Yeah. The type that he has, at least. I know there's room for change and redemption, but bruh, we haven't addressed the teeth being knocked out of her mouth.
Yeah, he's acting like that didn't exist.
That happened. It is like, is that what she had to go through for you? Now you
struggle
got,
of.
Now you're on your
Now you're on the pedestal.
No, what's that, Jordan? Dan, why can't we think of what we want to say today?
You know why.
When you're redeeming yourself, like when you're really like soap now
box,
you gotta
on the soapbox.
No, now you really gotta work for me, nigga, because you messed up bad. Like, so now, you know, you're at my feet.
Yeah. At this point, she's in the lemonade part of the album. The album, they're building sandcastles.
I would have had to leave that beach.
Same, bitch. After the teeth were knocked out and everybody knew about it and he came at my daddy file.
Yeah.
It would have just been a dub.
Yeah.
I'll be taking everything. I'll be taking half. And
so
getting
the
on.
thing, so it was him, the way he delivered the message, like he's just the been model here. Man. Mm-hmm. And then the people reposting it talking about goals. Like, now we have to set bigger goals for ourselves. Why is that your goals?
Yeah. I seen that in people's
stories.
That's
basic.
And I'm like, what they talking about?
That's basic. And we're done with that. And we should, no struggle love. You don't have to have all that. And that doesn't have to be your goals. First of all, none of these celebrities really be goals because we don't really know.
Yeah, you see Jada and Lil Baby.
Hmm?
Jada and Lil Baby. Oh, people thought that was goals. And then, you
it's
know.
Not, yeah.
That unraveled and it's like, actually, it's not goals.
So no struggle love. We're wanting and looking for an entertaining, healthy love.
Come on.
Not putting basic shit on pedestals.
Period.
If that's y'all story, let it be y'all story, but it don't got to be our story.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just wasn't here for it. It didn't move me.
Same. She wasn't moved. She's standing still.
I wasn't moved. I saw that and said, Fabulous, stop. You just like one of them old niggas who finally come around when your dick stopped working.
That's what it was giving me. Very Snoop Dogg.
Very
Snoop Dogg.
Very like, well, bitch, you here.
Yeah, it was giving
I'm
me very.
I'm not that appealing.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, yeah.
Here's your trophy.
Godly.
Very Chrissy and
Jim Jones. Very.
It's giving me, no.
Yeah.
It's giving me we want more for ourselves.
Yes.
So, what else was tea? The stimmies dropped.
Mine didn't.
Corvette.
Where's my motherfucking stimulus check? God damn.
Why
you walk like that? Why you talking like that?
My account was not stimulated. And once I saw on Twitter that people's accounts had got stimulated, I'm like, I was checking my Wells Fargo app like a crackhead. Like, where's my coin?
Period.
My coin has yet to hit. And I'm hearing that a lot of people have not been getting their stimulus checks.
Once I checked three times in a day, I said, let me go to the source. Let me go to the IRS website. I need to figure out what's going on with my money.
It wasn't up yet, though.
No, I checked.
Oh, when you sent the link, it was up. But I had went before you had even sent that.
Oh, okay.
Link.
I'm like,
where's my payment?
I'm like, they know they got my shit direct deposit.
/ where's my payment?
Exactly. Hold on. Y'all got my information because y'all be taking the money that y'all
and
already be
thing,
taking.
You know, the thing that be making me chuckle on the inside is when people be trying to figure out what's wrong with their stuff. They like, well, you know, because I pay my taxes, but I do owe. Yeah. And then the student loan, I didn't pay my student loan.
Yeah, trying to rationalize where the fuck the payment
Where's
is.
Where's my payment? But I felt, I was like, it couldn't be nothing that I have or haven't done because a lot of people haven't gotten their stimmies.
I'm looking like proximity.
But
like,
I heard there was a glitch in the system.
I don't like that.
So
that's what I don't like. My thing is now they're mailing mine when I've never received anything by mail. I'm like, why? Who the fuck told y'all to do that?
I need to check my mail today.
Who told y'all to do that?
And then I saw another tweet that said, because you know there was back and forth about whether we were receiving the 600 or the 2,000. Yeah. Somebody said 600, 2,000. It's already spent.
You know it is.
As soon as they said it was finalized,
I was adding that money into
and that's why it needs to be there because I had already put that into my balance. Shit, I got stuff coming out. Where's my
say? I said paying in with that. Carry the 10 and buy, and that's there. That's how I did. I'm
y'all, and it's not there.
I'm
so
like
now,
after everything's deducted, that will still be. I'm like, where the fuck? Once I seen mailed out on January 6th, I'm like, wait, hold up.
I didn't plan to turn this shit up.
I'm like, I didn't plan for. So yeah, hopefully it hits.
But
I'll
now at
back.
This point, I've released and said, I've subtracted from my balance. Yeah. And I said, when it comes, it'll be a blessing. I've gone to that mindset. Release and blessing.
I've factored into February's expenses. I said, okay, car registration.
And then
car registration,
girl,
will be paid.
I know
it.
I'm gonna need new tires or something. And then Joe Biden.
What?
He said that
Joe Biden.
He said that if Georgia showed up today for the Senate election, that the 2000 would be automatic systematic.
Cause then we'd be running,
automatic, systematic.
Exactly. Cause you know what? Then we'd be running the Senate in this bitch. A popping my collar. Come on, Georgia, show up, baby. I can't wait to see those results.
Yeah, I'm waiting on Georgia at the dough.
The thing is, once I get my six, and then I get my balance of 1400, the 1400 of occasion.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm running it up. Luxury.
That's when they said the crab and the seafood is shaking in the store. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. I can't wait. Shake. I can't wait.
Because we're going to get a little bit of king crab.
Oh, Lord.
No, but for real, though, where's our stimulus checks? But I'm just glad that. I don't even know if I'm glad, because it's still saying they don't know. Mine is still up in the air, but.
I know if I'm going to be glad with what I receive. If it's something like $100, ooh, I'm going to be pissed. I can't pay shit with that.
And honestly, truly, we have been in the pandemic about a year now. We're 2 months shy of a year. Mm-hmm. We should have been getting stimulated monthly. There's so many people that are out of work.
Yeah.
The rent moratoriums or whatever those things are called.
Yeah, my remember.
They're no longer in place.
Yeah.
Like, real talk. People's accounts need to be stimulated. It shouldn't even be a question. We're going back into lockdowns. It's looking different for different places, but.
Mm-hmm. Prayers.
The money needs to reside. The STEMI money needs to reside in my bank account.
In the account is where it needs to be.
Period.
So.
So, that's the tea for this week. What else we got?
Tons of ratings and reviews came in, right? That's what you wrote. You guys showered us with lots of love,
you
words of affirmation.
Really did. So it's a new year, but the ratings and the reviews still remain at the same level of importance, which is high priority.
At the forefront.
High priority. Mm-hmm. We need your ratings and your reviews, and we actually need them more than ever. Okay. Because we have goals, and we're tired of playing with y'all. We're tired of playing with you. The foot is on your neck. Mm-hmm. Please submit your rating and review, especially if you've been a longtime listener.
Do your part. Do your part. Do your now. Part. Show up.
So let's read our review of the week.
Get it.
Here we go.
Corvette.
I've been a motherfucking jet like that. Let me pull it up.
You pull it up.
Because I thought I had it here. Loyal listener here. This comes from, her name is Olivia.
Hey, Liv.
I've been listening to Brittany of Germany since June 2020 consistently. They are my soul sisters and don't even know it yet. Every time I'm rushing to work, the Blacker Bravado is on play in my car. It's the personalities for me. I am so blessed to have found their podcast. They can make a girl laugh into tears. Their singing at random moments are the absolute best. The advice is top tier. Keep up the amazing work, ladies. I am too inspired to start my own podcast. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And the harmonies, I've already made promises that the harmonies are coming harder.
Oh, harder, damn, bitch.
Pressure. The pressure is on for 2021. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. So, another way to support our podcast is by joining us over on Patreon.
Yes.
This week on Patreon, we have tons of content over there available to you.
We have our audio.
And visual affirmations.
Yes.
Oh, no. Visual are just on the page now.
We have our audio affirmations, which mm-hmm. are like mini episodes where we talk through the affirmations, how they resonate with us. We share some random tea because that's just what we do.
Period.
And that's just who we are.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got?
We have our playlist that's coming at the end of the week. So yes. if you want to hear what we've been bumping to, then tap in over mm-hmm. there. It's going to be a lot of good shit. A lot of good songs to help carry us through the month.
A lot of good songs.
And we also update that playlist throughout the month. So,
yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and we're also going to have our video content for real.
Video content.
For real.
So, yeah, join us over on Patreon. We want to shout out our mommies who are new to the gang. Brittany, let them rip.
Yes. So, we got a lot of patrons, and we're thankful.
Thank
because
you.
Because Patreon is how this podcast is supported a form away.
Yeah.
Monetarily.
You are the wind beneath our wings.
You are the wind. Let's start out our patrons of the week. We have Harper.
Hey, Harper. Now,
Harper is one of the new ones that just came today.
Yeah, today.
Harper and Amber Neat came today after the story post. They heard our cries and they're here.
And they answered.
So we have Harper. Hey, we have Harper. Ambernique.
Hey, Ambernique. Welcome.
We have A. Perkins.
Hey, A. Perkins.
Kirsten.
Hey, Kirsten.
Danny.
Hey, Danny.
Amanda.
Amanda, what's good?
Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Brianne Lachey.
Brianne Lachey. I'm loving this list. It's long.
It's long.
It's long.
It's long. Mm-hmm. Leandra.
Hey, Leandra.
Catherine.
Catherine.
Kiana.
Kiana, what's good?
Leisha.
Hey, Leisha.
And Rashana.
Hey, Rashana.
So,
wow, y'all. This list needs to be this long every week.
We need to keep the same energy. Feel free to spend your stimulus with us.
Yeah.
You can join yearly and save like 15% mm-hmm. if you're a mommy who values saving some coin.
Yes.
You don't have to do the monthly. You can just... You spend just, a check and get the value right back.
Yeah.
And what else was I going to say? Because I had something on the top of my dome, mm-hmm. but now I forgot.
Last week on Patreon, though, we did do our monthly wrap up.
We did.
Which was filled with some goodies.
Some tea.
All our personal business.
Intimacy.
Yeah. That's where it is. So if you're interested in getting to know us more on a personal level,
mm-hmm.
join us over there. And you know what? We're leveling up the content over on Patreon this year.
We are.
We have tons of things that are coming, and that content is being taken up a notch.
Also, if you're a patron, please make sure to give us your Instagram name so that we can add you to our close friends, close homegirl story.
Yes. So last week seems like so long ago.
We were wrapping up 2020.
We did. We wrapped up 2020. So we did our annual wrap-up episode. Essentially, we reflected on our favorite series of the year, what we learned about mm-hmm. ourselves, and what we're most hopeful for 21. Yeah, what we're most hopeful for this upcoming year. So tap in with us there.
Mm-hmm.
And this week.
This week. So we're picking back up our wellness and color series.
It's become one of my favorites.
Same.
It's become one of my favorites.
It's been the guest for me. I mean, without them, there's no series.
Yes.
So this month we got another bomb homegirl on.
This one takes the cake.
She was dropping gems.
The cake is being taken.
Yeah. German chocolate.
Dead.
Red velvet.
You're sick.
Strawberries with whipped cream.
Whatever you fancy, baby.
Whatever cake. Yeah, this was mm-hmm. a good one. I really enjoyed this conversation. It was full of just...
Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR has got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and... also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure, absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story. But now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling. But with them presenting Black Stories, Black Truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wished for an extra hour in your day? What would you do with it? Maybe it's finding time for a run, a nap, or simply being there for a friend. But often, life feels like a race against the clock. What if you could carve out time for what truly matters to you? Therapy can be that guide, helping you prioritize what's important and make time for it. Whether it's setting boundaries, learning coping skills, or simply becoming the best version of yourself, therapy empowers you to take control of your life. When I've been called to therapy, it's been during times when I felt like I've needed to really center myself and regain control of my thoughts, feelings, and actions. And let me tell you, it has definitely helped. If you're considering therapy, consider BetterHelp. It's convenient, flexible, and entirely online. With just a brief questionnaire, you can be matched with a licensed therapist who fits your needs. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. Take the first step towards a more fulfilling life with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bravado today and get 10% off your first month. 10%, y'all. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bravado. Homegirl energy.
Yeah, sharing codes.
Knowledge, cheat codes for show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we think we'll know that you'll enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Because she knows what the fuck she's talking about. So sit tight. Here we are.
Let's get it.
Hey, homegirls. So today we have another one of our expert homegirls joining us to talk about all things wellness, as we have been doing in this series. Mm-hmm. Today we have Angie, who's the founder of Afro Yoga based in Sacramento, California. She's a certified vinyasa, kamatic, and yin yoga teacher, wellness entrepreneur, and self-taught graphic and web designer. Why do we do all the things? Like, Black women, we be having so many things under our belt. Like, I do this, I do that, and bitch, I do this too.
Period. We have to.
So, yeah, we decided to call her on because we love what she's doing over at Afro Yoga. Mm-hmm. She, her goal over there is to raise consciousness through wellness practices to meet BIPOC wherever they are on their wellness journey. And that sounds like our type of homegirl.
Yeah. What's up, Angie? Tell the people about yourself. Give us a little bit of tea about who you are and your journey, how you got here.
What's up? Thank you so much for having me. And I want to just say I'm honored to be here because I've been wanting to get on with y'all since like 2018. So it's lovely to be here, and I just love y'all's podcast, and just thankful to be kicking it with the homegirls.
Yeah,
virtually. So yeah, my name is Angie, like you mentioned. Started Afro Yoga back in 2017 when I saw that there was a serious lack of representation in the wellness industry. And I, you know, I saw a gap and I decided to fill it. I remember in college, I went to a historically black college for 1 year, Central State University in Ohio. It was in the middle of some cornfields. But I remember there was a speech one day where a guy said, it really was, y'all, you had to get a ride to get to town. It was a whole thing.
Wow.
But it was a great experience. But he said, if not you, who, and if not now, when? Yeah. And I just thought that, wow, you know, that's real. Like, and I've to give some background, you know, I was named after Angela Davis.
Okay.
So the activism runs seriously in my blood. And, you know, I just wanted, I'm here to disrupt. I'm also a double Aquarius. So, you know, we come here to disrupt, to break down old systems, to build up new ones. We're always usually ahead of our time in terms of vision. Like, we can see things way before other people. And I'm grateful that I have been able to use that vision to create such an amazing platform that has given so much to me and now to what is a global community of Afro yogis.
Come on, Angela Hustle, the prolific visionary.
Come on, disrupt, break down, and rebuild.
Come on.
Come on. Yes. It's giving very activism and giving, bitch, I'm here.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
So how long have you been practicing yoga? Like, how did you get into the practice of yoga?
I'm so glad you asked this question because I'm probably going to surprise y'all.
Don't say 2 years ago.
You started in college?
No. Okay.
I'm like, hold on now.
Yes, I had to take a physical yesterday.
I know.
I had to take a PE requirement for college. So I went to Central State. I came back. The shit was too cold. I was like, hold up, recalibrate.
Right.
Came back to Cali and went to a community college. And I had to take a physical education credit. So I was like, well, shit, I'll just take yoga, right? I didn't want to do your regular, just walk around the track. So
that's what I did.
Yeah, the walking class.
But I did,
yeah.
Lazy ass. I'm like, I'll take walking.
I was like, yeah, let me just do something different. But I was really at that time still very irresponsible and in the wind, you know, very free spirited. I wasn't showing up on time, and like I had a very serious white dude yoga teacher who had studied in India and all the shit. So he failed me. And I deserve the F. So I failed my very first yoga class in college.
What a
bitch.
And then
I barely passed the second time with a black woman teacher. I barely passed then.
Okay, yeah.
So that was sort of like the opening to it. But some years later, I had moved abroad overseas. So I was born in Madrid, Spain, to an Air Force family. And I moved back after just, like, being very disappointed with my job. Like, I just felt like there needed to be more. I wanted to do fashion blogging, and I was like, well, shit, I'll move to Spain. Like, there's a bunch of beautiful backdrops there. Didn't have no plan, no strategy, no nothing. I was like, my brother's moving out of his apartment. Fuck it, I'm going to go. I sold my car and took off.
Wow.
And while I was there, shit started hitting the fan very, very quickly. Like, damn near immediately as I dropped down, shit just started going left. And I was like, ooh, this is, because I'm used to things being in alignment and just falling in line and everything. It's like, okay, you know, I get affirmation that I'm on the right track.
Right.
That was not occurring when I went there. And so I got into a really deep depression. I was pretty much there by myself. In that region of Spain, in Catalonia, it's like the northeastern part in Barcelona, just outside of Barcelona. And people are very closed, and it's very difficult to have connection with people. And like, it's not how here, how you could go to a grocery store and you in line at Trader Joe's and somebody behind you chopping it up. Next thing you know, you might end up exchanging numbers and meeting up for coffee, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like that. in that part. So I just really struggled and I felt very isolated and I fell into a very deep depression for a long time. And I ended up coming across a documentary called Awake about a yogi who is largely responsible for the popularization of yoga in the West. His name's Paramahansa Yogananda. Wrote an amazing book called Autobiography of a Yogi that sold millions of copies worldwide. Loved by the likes of John Lennon and so forth. Like this book was really revolutionary for people, especially in its time. And so I watched a documentary about him and it really kind of like shook me like, okay, there's more, like, you know, and I started to do the little bit of yoga that I remembered from college. And it started to be something that I looked forward to. And, it, you know, when you're depressed, you don't look forward to a goddamn thing.
Right. Okay?
Nothing is exciting. Nothing feels
worthwhile.
Like a constant numbness. Yeah, exactly. Nothing feels worthwhile. You don't want to put effort into anything, you know. And so that was already big in itself, to actually wake up and want to move my body. And, you know, we know that we store emotion in our body and that things, you know, get lodged in there. So when you're moving, you have the opportunity to start releasing stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just felt myself start to come alive again. And then I decided to say, fuck it, I'm leaving Spain. It didn't work out. I didn't fail. It just was one step in the journey. I'm going back. And then when I came back, I started practicing in a studio for the first time. And I had a very incredible experience where I felt this moment, it was a hot yoga class. She had us doing something super hard, balancing on one leg. And I was like, she said something around the language of like surrendering and letting whatever happen. Like if you fall, whatever. And I remember being in a state of like pure bliss, like for a period of time. It was like, have you ever felt full and like empty and full at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After eating something good, huh? I'm just kidding. Yes. Yes, I know what you mean.
I was going to say something totally different.
But after fucking
somebody you're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I feel full, but a bitch just feels empty.
Yeah, you know.
Exactly.
It seems like the colder it gets outside, the thirstier my hair feels. I recently started using Aussie hair products, which have been giving me back so much moisture. I don't know if y'all know this, but I have 4D hair, 4D coils, and Aussie Miracle Moist just really makes my hair feel soft and smooth and just perfectly ready for Brittany to lock it. From cleansing to styling, and if you're a loose curl mommy, even day 2, 3, and 4 hair, Aussie products have you covered. The Miracle Moist shampoo has become one of my favorites. Brittany put me onto this product. It's so nourishing. It's so clarifying. It has avocado and jojoba oil in it. It's like I said, it's one of my favorites. So another thing to consider, you girls know that I'm plant-based and plant-friendly. All the animals matter to me. Aussie products are also PETA certified and cruelty-free, so they love all types of hair and animals. Plus, they're easy to find and affordable. Wherever you shop, you can find Aussie products starting at $2.99. Learn more by following Aussie on Instagram at Aussie Hair USA. You really do feel this when you're in those hot yoga classes. I used to love Y7.
I know. Like, it's like, oh my God. Like, I feel very full, but at the same time, I'm like,
I've given everything I have.
Yeah.
Empty. Yes. Mm-hmm. Keep going, Ange.
Yes. So, you know, that was something that I hadn't really experienced before. Mm-hmm. And being a very mental person, being able to be in my body was such a treat because it gave me a break from being in my head. And so it was just such a, I walked out of the class that day being like, wow, there's something more to this practice than what meets the eye. And I got more interested, and a friend of mine was working at a yoga studio. I was real broke at the time. I had just come back. I didn't know what I was doing with my life for like the first time. And I ended up falling ass backwards into that training. She was like, hey, they're doing a scholarship for a yoga teacher training. And I've always been a good writer. So, you know, your girl got the 50% scholarship, you know what I'm saying? And borrowed the rest from Pop. And graduating from teacher training just completely changed the course of my life.
Wow. Wow. Yes, that's it's we're really using the yoga practice as healing, right? That's what it seems like. This really helped bring you out of a dark place
and coming to yourself, because you've obviously thrived in this space. Like, we see that you teach all different kind of yogas, mm-hmm. you have a full wellness practice going, different healing modalities. So it seems like I guess it started off unintentional and became very intentional.
Yeah.
You kind of just landed there through the PE class.
Which is crazy.
And ran with it. Because I would have been like, you know what? I keep failing this. This shit ain't for me.
Period. You know, you talking about how you really were able to, it was such a treat when you said that, to be inside your body and not in your mind. I'm such a mental person. It's crazy.
Oh my God. Me too.
I was like, you coming for me like
you.
That?
I wasn't talking about you.
You're coming for me like that?
Me too.
No, yeah, I'm such a overthinker that it would be so nice if I could really implement, and I want to, some sort of physical practice. Well, I get it through skating. I honestly get it through skating. Yeah. I have that sense of like freedom and like, wow, it's peaceful here, you know? But I wish I could do some yoga shit frequently, often. It's kind of hard.
I know. The thing is, like, yoga is kind of intimidating because,
yes,
especially when you're beginning, because I know I'll speak for myself. Like, I'm like, I hope I'm hitting these poses right. Mm-hmm. And I'm still in my mind all the time. And also, like, I guess kind of like how you started out with the PE class when you weren't showing up on time. It can be hard to stay motivated and keep showing up when you feel discouraged when you're on the mat. And mm-hmm. Is there any tips that you can offer? Are there any tips that you can offer to someone who wants to practice yoga, but they're having a hard time staying motivated and
showing up
continuously? Because it's not something, it's a practice. So when you first start doing it, you're not going to be good at it. It's something that you have to keep showing up for, but we get discouraged along the way. So are there some tips that you can offer that will help someone like stay encouraged and keep showing up?
Yeah, absolutely. Several things, you know. A lot of the things y'all said are things that I have thought about, are things that I have heard other people say. And I think that the first thing to know is that there is not such a thing as being good at it or being bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first thing is we have to eliminate the language around it being something to achieve, mm-hmm. right? Like that it is an achievement, or like, that I did it right, or this pose looks just like how this person's pose looks, right? Like, we have to sort of define our own measure of success in the practice. And if the practice for today is, I'm just going to get on my mat and lay down and breathe, then you succeeded in your practice for that day. You know, if your intention was just to move your body a little bit and you got on your mat for 10 minutes, then you did what you needed to do. So I think and part of what has kept me from my practice as well, because, you know, contrary to popular belief, I don't get on my mat every day. And I also struggle with that consistency. But part of what I do when I am struggling is I remind myself that that I decide what I want my practice to be and how I need it to serve me, right?
I love that.
The practice is there to serve me.
Mm.
So if the practice can offer me a moment to be with myself, and that's what I need, great. If the practice can offer me some, you know, opening in my body, lengthening my body and stretching and just getting some new energy in, then great. You know, I think it's to decide what you want the practice to be for you and move with that intention and know that there's not, that it doesn't need to look a certain way. I think another thing too is it doesn't need to be a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. I think for a long time, especially after teacher training, I felt like if I wasn't going to get on my mat for an hour practice, it didn't even make sense for me to step on it.
Mm.
And that's not the case. You know, now I get on my mat sometimes for literally 60 seconds and do a couple of postures and breathe, and I feel like at least I reset. I just took a moment to reset.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's important to just break down some of those things around what we think the practice should be like or look like, and focus on what it feels like.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's really about. It's not about performing the posture. It's about what are you experiencing internally as you are in that posture, mm-hmm. right? That's the piece. And so, you know, yoga, the physical practice, is just one of eight parts of the Eightfold Path, which is what one of the ancient sages, Indian sages, Patanjali, outlined, that, you know, the asana, the physical posture, is just one of the eight things. And along that journey at the very end is what's called samadhi, which is a ultimate bliss, like a type of joy, ineffable joy that you can't even describe. And that happens through the process of acting with certain principles, which are the first two, through physical movement, postures, discipline, right? You called it a practice. It's showing up consistently. And, you know, meditation, introspection, et cetera, and you get to that place. So really it's about coming back to the self. Brittany, I think you said this earlier, coming back to self mm-hmm. is what the practice is really about, and discovering more of self. And, you know, they say that your yoga mat is just a big mirror. Mm-hmm. It just reveals you to yourself. Mm-hmm. So what you're thinking about yourself on your mat as you're doing a challenging pose is likely what you may be thinking of yourself when you're having a challenging time in your life in some other aspect or area. Wow. So, you know, we are who we are, who we are. You know, how we show up on our mat is how we show up in our life. Mm-hmm. So I'm for me, really big on take the lessons and the things that you learn about yourself on the mat and use those things to inform how you show up in the world. When we're able to have more patience, more grace with ourselves on our mat, like maybe we fall, right? Maybe we're in a challenging balancing pose and we fall. How do we respond to the perception of failure, right? These are things that we can observe about ourselves. So I think that if we can take the approach of, I'm going into this practice for it to serve a purpose for me, and I get to decide what that is. And then also, let me be curious. Let me be curious about what's going on inside, and hold that, right? And know that whatever shows up is okay, is valid, and is an opportunity for me to get to know myself better so I can move forward in the way that I want. Yeah. Because awareness is always the first thing, right? We have to mm-hmm. be aware before we can do anything. And then with that awareness, then we can move forward with intent. That's kind of the way that I look at it.
Wow. Angie, I mm-hmm. mean, you were really
you
talking
were preaching.
That talk.
I felt
and
like
preaching
I was
that.
In a little bit of a church service.
Same. I feel like I was in, I'm like, am I in a webinar? Is she giving a motivational speech? but that was just such fresh perspective to offer, because when we're deciding to take on these hobbies and these practices, whatever it might be, if it's yoga, if it's skating, if it's whatever it is that you're interested in and exploring more, we look at the people who are at the pinnacle of what they're doing. And, right. and the objective for us as newbies and beginners is to get to that point. And a lot of times we forget that this is supposed to be enjoyable. This right. is supposed to serve a purpose for me. Mm-hmm. Like you said, whatever that is, if it's healing through from a traumatic experience, if it's getting over some depression or helping to cope with your anxiety, if it's just to have fun and experience joy and peace, whatever that might be, we forget about the purpose. And we're always trying to get to the end goal of like, I want to look like the best.
Right.
You know, it's always about mm-hmm. a outer perspective outward, and yeah. outward look appearance versus like, I feel so good when
How
I do this.
Feel inside?
Yeah. Right. Like, if I show up and I skate once a week, I feel so good when I do it. And I don't have right. to compare myself to somebody who's skating every day. And I'm using skating because that's something that I am liking, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. getting into more. But we can even say yoga for the sake of this episode. But it's like when you want to get into something and you want to be really good, then you feel like you got to do it every single day. You get fixated on the getting good.
Yeah, instead
of like,
the
yeah, the journey and the experience, which sounds so cliche mm-hmm. to be like, it's the journey. It's all about the journey.
But it is.
But when you, I think, phrase it, which is a great way to, I guess, word it going into the new year and just offer some new, a new way to experience and chat and add a new word into our vocabulary or in a way to explain it is like, what's the purpose of this for me?
Yeah.
Staying connected mm-hmm. to the why you want to do it and why it feels good when you do it or what you feel when you do it. I think that helps us.
Right.
You know, I feel like that's a great way to to go through life, especially when we're trying and doing new things. I love that. Thank you so much for that.
And
I appreciate
it. Conscious.
Yes.
Because we do so many things subconsciously, even something that's supposed to be helping heal us like yoga.
Yeah.
When we're in our minds and just overthinking everything, you really miss the real benefit of what you're doing because you're thinking about other things, like you said, like when I get good, instead of just practicing the shit.
And I also feel like we see things and we aspire to be them, and I feel like that's what we're doing when we're in the midst of learning it. Constantly thinking about, I'm about to get good, I'm looking good, I'm doing this the way that they do it when I see it on Instagram. And we totally, like, I feel like we totally, we miss the moment and negate what we're supposed to really be experiencing. Cause I do that. Like, I'm doing these fucking skate moves and I'm like, oh yeah, bitch.
Yeah.
When I get this move and then I just totally take away, like, wow.
And you create unnecessary frustration. Yes. That's what causes me to be frustrated, not being as good as I want to be.
Or looking
as I think
the way
I can be, and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm actually not gonna even do it no more. I'm not motivated to skate, or I'm not motivated to practice yoga because I'm gonna get out there. I'm gonna be frustrated because I'm not as good as I want to be, and throw the whole shit away.
Yeah. Instead of thinking about how you feel when you do it. Wow, you just dropped a nugget on me.
I mean, you have to release the attachment to the outcome.
Yes. Yeah. You really do. So
that's true for anything in life, you know. And you know, I think that this is a good segue. I'm not sure what the next question is, but I think that it's a good segue to speak on like the origins of yoga and where they actually originate and how that differs so much to where we are now in yoga. Is that something y'all want to hear about?
Let's talk about it, because we're going to get into a lot.
Yeah,
go.
Let's talk about it. We definitely want to talk about the origins, because just from following you and your teachings, I've been enlightened about where the shit really comes from. So tell our homegirls.
Yeah, we want to talk about the kinetic yoga. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. And, you know, in the podcast that y'all did in the previous episode with Evelyn, she said something that really stood out to me and something that directly applies to this practice. And she talked about, now I can't even remember.
Probably decolonizing white wellness.
Yes, that too. But she spoke about how like this is our land,
the stolen land.
Oh, that's what she said.
Yeah,
that we have an innate connection to the land, but then white folks look at us crazy when we want to take a hike, right?
Yeah,
and I think that it's the absolute same thing. You know, yoga originates in Kemet. Kemet is the original name for Egypt. The Greeks gave it that name, so we say Kemet in our full reclamation, and since yoga originates in Kemet, that means it has African origins, because people want to, you know, white people have done a good job of trying to make us think that Egypt is not Africa.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Egypt is Africa. So
the Prince of Egypt is ours. Motherfucker. They tried to make them look like they wasn't black. Y'all remember Prince of Egypt?
Mm-hmm. They really did, yeah.
They tried.
Elizabeth Taylor and Cleopatra tonight.
Exactly.
So, you know, when I found out about this, I knew that I needed to get certified and learn more about this practice, not only because I just feel a very deep connection to Kemet, but because I just knew it would be so powerful for the demographic that I serve, which is, you know, the BIPOC community, but more specifically Black women and brown women. So, you know, we see in the temples, we see it on the hieroglyphs. There are yoga postures that we see that predate Indian yoga by thousands of years, okay? Now, you'll have people refute you on this because there's not scholarly texts that speak on yoga like there are in India. But this is also a westernized way of dealing with what is legitimate and what isn't. So just because, I mean, if we think about the rich oral history tradition of like oral history, right? Through Native Americans, Africans, etc. We didn't always write shit down in a fucking book, right? But that doesn't mean that it didn't exist, or that doesn't mean that there's not value in it because it's not in a text.
Right.
And so I think that this is something that we need to remember, because people will refute and say, oh, well, you know, Black people just want to claim that yoga started in Africa so that they can feel closer to the practice. No, motherfucker, this shit is in the temple. You see the wheel pose. You see the meditation pose. You see it. People in a headstand. It's very clear. So, you know, yoga then migrates with the people that migrated from the region of Kemet into India, and then we see an incredible development of yoga. What India has done with the development of yoga has been insane, right? They have, there's so many different styles of yoga. It's such a core part of, I remember speaking to a guy at the post office. He told me that they had to take yoga in school. So it's embedded in their way of life.
Yeah.
And then we see, you know, in the earlier part of last century, that yogis from the East came and brought the teachings to the West. So in Kemet and Kemetic yoga is very focused upon the science, the scientific aspect of the practice. And the ancient yogis from India also understand this. A science is basically like that you put in this thing and then this thing will occur, right? Like it's mathematical in that way, that if you apply yourself in a certain way with a yoga practice, you are going to get a certain result. So it's just practical that way. So, you know, the breathing is huge. And what does the breathing do? Well, you have two aspects of your nervous system. You have the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. The sympathetic is your fight or flight response. Your parasympathetic is your rest and digest. Well, what's so unique about the breath and how it works with the nervous system is that the breath is the only system in your body that functions both voluntarily and involuntarily. So what does that mean? That means that I don't care what you're doing, so long as you're alive, you're breathing, even if you don't think about it, right?
Yeah.
You're breathing regardless. Now, if you focus on your breathing, you can control your breathing and you can decide how you breathe. And the moment that you take your mind off of it, it goes back to breathing on its own involuntarily. Your digestive system doesn't do that. You can't tell your digestive system how to work. You can't tell your heartbeat to slow down beating or increase beating, right? Like, your breath is the only system in your body. And so the direct correlation now to the breath and the nervous system is that when you slow down your breathing, you're activating your parasympathetic nervous system, your rest and digest. Which means that you're bringing forth a state of calmness through your entire being. Why is this particularly important? Because as people of color and Black people specifically in this country, we are on, our sympathetic nervous system is constantly activated.
Period.
Okay. We hear sirens, right? We hear sirens in the street, or we might be on the freeway and see the popo in the back, and be like, oh shit.
Right.
The microaggressions we experience at work, going on things like a hike, right? Where you're supposed to be able to release, let go, connect with nature, and you're on alert because you don't know if people looking at you crazy and if you're safe or not.
Period. Right. Okay. Because bitches didn't feel safe. I was just going to say, we did not feel safe. I'm like, what are they trying to put?
You don't feel safe.
Period. Okay.
You know?
This one is for my readers. Are you tired of endlessly searching for your next great read? Well, let me tell you about Book of the Month, where the thrill of discovery meets the joy of reading. Sounds fun, right? Okay, so what I adore about the Book of the Month is their meticulous curation process. With just a handful of carefully chosen titles each month, they've mastered the art of making your next read an easy decision. If you're tired of making decisions, let's make it easy. And let's not forget about the fun factor. Every aspect of their service is designed to celebrate the love of reading and make it even more enjoyable for members like us, down to the cute blue box the books are delivered in. Now, let me tell you about the April pick. I've tapped into The Husband's a Novel by Holly Gramazio, and let me tell you, it's a pretty interesting read. It gets into the complexities of marriage and identity, and it's set against the backdrop of mystery and suspense. It has a pretty intriguing plot twist, and there's some character development that's pretty good too. So I think you might enjoy it. Pick it up if it interests you. And if you're ready to embark on your next literary journey, head over to bookofthemonth.com. And guess what? They're offering our listeners a special deal. You can use code PASTEL at checkout to get your first book for just $5 this month only. That's code PASTEL at bookofthemonth.com to get your first book for $5 with free shipping always. Come on, my readers. Don't miss out on the chance to discover your next favorite read with Book of the Month. Happy reading. Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right, no fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank, it's a community. With Boost, you can increase your SpotMe limit by receiving boosts from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
And any space you walk in, right? Like, we know as Black people, any space we walk into, the first thing what we doing, who else up in here look like me?
Right, right. Looking around, making a connection.
Where the exits at?
Mm-hmm.
Just in case shit go down. We're wired like this.
Yeah.
So that means that this is part of the reason why the stressors, right, that are part of why we are dying and why we are more susceptible to certain illnesses, because we are in a stress response. Mm-hmm. When your body is in a constant state of stress response, that taxes your immune system, which means that you are more susceptible to illnesses, viruses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when we are able to take a moment to then gain control of our breath and use it in a way that is truly scientific, which means that regardless, if I slow down breathing right now, I am activating my parasympathetic nervous system, period, point blank. That's science. And so every single time that you step on a mat or that you take a moment to slow down and breathe and activate, you're flooding your system with that calm energy. So kinetic yoga is heavily focused on, all yoga practices are heavily focused on breathing, and that is one of the branches of the Eightfold Path that I explained to you earlier. In Indian yoga, it's called pranayama. Prana means life force. Yama means restraint, so it's like a control of the breath. So, you know, kinetic yoga is a slow practice. It moves incredibly slow. It's very meditative. Because it is, you know, calling on that slow breath, there's a lot of emphasis on the spine. So the spine is where our nerves are housed, right? So there's a lot of emphasis on spinal alignment, on moving energy through the spine. We also know, and I won't get super deep into this, but we also know that within our spine exist energy centers, which by the Indian, in India is are known as chakras.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Chakras.
What we calling them in Kemet? What we calling them? Is there some new different names?
You know,
shit, I don't know what we calling them in Kemet. I ain't gonna lie, I'm not really sure.
Because girl, we can come up with some what the Black folks calling it. Shit, let's take it back, okay? Our shock, yeah, like
yeah,
you said, our shock.
But you know, we are, you know, in Kemet, we already had some of these. There is hieroglyphs and things that point specifically to like the third eye or the throat chakra or the crown chakra, right? Which are the more spiritual ones. Your lower ones are like grounding, rooted to the earth. Your higher ones are like opening you up to the heavens, right? And we have that balance as human beings where we're rooted to the earth, but we also know there's more, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that spectrum. So those energy centers in our body sit along the axis of the spine. So when we are breathing and moving energy up through the spine, we are activate those centers. And those are things to be very careful with. But nonetheless, it's just to know that you do have energy centers that sit along the spine. And ancient Kemet, you know, Kemetians knew this. Our ancestors, our elevated ancestors knew this. And we're very in tune with spirituality. So fast forward now to what you see, you know, very regularly in Western society is power vinyasa classes. You're moving 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You can barely catch up with the next pose. You can't even catch your breath, right? Your breath is beyond you. You can't even catch it.
Right. Yeah.
And you're moving very quickly because Western society is results-oriented. Like, you're doing the practice to achieve the pose. You know, the goal is for you to sweat, for you to have a good workout, for you to get abs, for you to lose weight, right?
Right.
Totally taken away from the real point is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's my whole point is that when we look back to Kemetic yoga, to Indian yoga, the intent is totally different than what they have done with it here in the West and then capitalize it. And it's the same thing as what Evelyn said in the last podcast. This is our shit, and you looking at me sideways when I walk into the studio. Like, right. I don't belong here.
Mm. Right. Mm. When y'all doing the shit wrong.
Right.
Slow down.
Y'all doing the shit wrong to begin with.
I was real when you were talking about how it's so slow and intentional, I was thinking about how most of the yoga classes that I've been to have been very speedy, especially like the hip-hop one
with Y7,
and how you can miss some of the real benefits from slowing down, really controlling your breath. And Germany and I were just looking to see if there was some Kemetic yoga classes in LA. We haven't found one yet. Do you offer virtual?
She does.
Virtual.
Yes, membership.
We're going to need to do the virtual because I need to slow my ass down.
I'm going to need y'all to pull up. I actually have a restorative Kemetic yoga class that I'm teaching on January 2nd at 9. I know some of y'all probably not morning. I think Germany, you ain't a morning person. I'm really not either.
You got me.
But
you offer this at night? The bedtime version?
But
the bedtime? How early is it, Ange? Damn.
It's 9.
Oh, it's at nine.
Nine ain't that bad. Now, if you would have said a sunrise service, then y'all would have had
not
to.
The sunrise.
Y'all would have had to catch
ma'am.
Me later.
No, ma'am.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, Kemetic yoga is difficult to find, and it is one of the things that I feel is like a pillar of my brand because naturally who I serve. And what I have experienced is that people have some really powerful, sometimes visions, sometimes sensations and experiences in their body when they're practicing these postures. Because they are literally postures from off of the walls of Kemet.
Mm.
Like, that is incredibly powerful when we talk about reclaiming our wellness and knowing that, yo, this shit started with us. This shit is not foreign to me, right? Like, this is within me. This is in my DNA.
Period. And now we playing Solange all day, FUBU.
And, you know, we were supposed to go to Egypt or Kemet.
We were.
This year, but COVID happened. But I think this was intentional because when we go for real,
bitch, I'm gonna be hitting the money.
I'm gonna be like, take me to, let me get these poses. Shut up.
Come on.
I'm gonna be hitting it. And so, Andrew, you mentioned that you offer, that you have a lot of offerings, right? And what I noticed from your profile and just watching you as a wellness practitioner and a wellness entrepreneur is that you create a very clear balance between and a very admirable balance rather between entrepreneurship and wellness. And I think in one of your posts, you were mentioning that a lot of times wellness practitioners feel guilty for charging for their services and they want to give everything for free because you feel like that you're just trying to serve the community.
Right.
What tips do you have or is there a way that we as creatives and wellness creatives can transition to entrepreneurship in a seamless way? Like how is it that you balance that so well? Because you really talk about the business of yoga, which is a lot of people don't. And I think it's difficult for people who are wellness practitioners or want to get into wellness, to create entrepreneurship and understand that it's okay to charge
sustainable
for
sustainable living.
Yeah, like have a lucrative career in what you're offering. Like what does that look like for you, and how is it that we, us, Brittany and I, and others, the other homegirls who are listening, can transition into that space?
I love this question. Thank you so much.
Girl.
You know, here's the thing, and this is really what is very important. First of all, you got to have clarity. Mm. So the first thing is knowing, you know, who are you serving, and what are you providing for those people, right? What services are you providing for the people that you serve? Mm-hmm. And is the service you're providing solving a problem or meeting a need or assisting with a challenge, right? Like, in order to businesses make money because they offer some type of transformation. So you go to get coffee, you pay for that coffee because you need to get yourself energized for the day, right? Mm-hmm. As an example, everybody don't drink coffee, but you go there for a specific, you just had a small transformation. You went in there, you paid for the coffee, now you got energy, now you can go about your day. Mm-hmm. You come to a yoga class, you need to de-stress, you show up stressed, you leave unstressed. You just had a mini transformation. So I think getting clear on what is the transformation that you want people to experience from what you offer is really important to get very, very clear on, and then figuring out how you're going to do that. The next piece is entry points. I talk about this a lot. Having different types of entry points to your offerings. So for example, I have my drop-in yoga classes, which are my lowest level offerings. So that means that someone could enter at no cost, someone could pay $30. It's really dependent on them. And so that's a staple offering that never goes away because my brand is about accessibility. That's fine. Great. Yoga classes. I know that I'm not getting rich off teaching yoga classes, and I get that. No problem. Mm. Then I have an online studio. So you're going to have like an offering that's like a love offering, especially when you're doing something for community. There's going to be something like what you all do with the podcast. I know y'all make some funds off it, but then you have your Patreon, right?
Period.
Which is like,
because what we're doing right now, Ange, is very love offering. Y'all getting all this free shit, these episodes.
It's all love.
Love.
You care.
Period.
About what you're doing, and you want to serve your community, and you see the result, right? You've seen the impact that it's had on your community to do this podcast. So now you say, hey, we're going to add some value, and for that added value experience, we're going to ask you to also add value, right, with your dollars.
Period.
Right? That's your Patreon. So then what would be the next step? And that's what people have to think about. What is the next step in the journey for your client or customer that makes sense to take the next step? So building your offerings in a way that is tiered, in a way that people can enter them at different price points, and in a way that is sequential, is like your customers are going, it's like your community is going on a journey with you, mm-hmm. right? And maybe you're doing like a hike and you get to the first peak. Okay, what is the next peak that makes sense? And then the next peak that makes sense. Like, where are you taking people? Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's something to think about. So that could look like a variety of things. You know, I think having a Black Girl Bravado retreat would be incredible. You know,
and that's on the books, and you are teaching yoga. We didn't. That's
we didn't
in the
tell
new.
You.
That's
we didn't
the next
tell you, but
phase.
That's what was happening.
That's the next peak.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
And you just spilled the beans. You spilled the beans. God damn.
Yes. So you know that. I mean, y'all could have a whole course that teaches other people how to create a podcast.
How to podcast?
Right?
That's mm-hmm. two on the peaks.
And so I think that also another piece of this is as you're looking at, well, you're like, well, shit, what am I actually going to teach people, right? Like, I don't even know. That's when you want to take inventory and stock of what am I already good at? What have I already been doing? What is my low-hanging fruit?
Mm-hmm. Period. Mm.
What is my low-hanging fruit? And how can I infuse that into my teaching? Yeah. So let's say, for example, that I am a veteran, right? And I also teach yoga. my low-hanging fruit is veterans yoga.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's also a niche. Because yes. There's not many types of yoga that are specifically for veterans or even black female veterans. I could even go that deep.
Right.
Right? And so the other piece of it, too, especially in the wellness industry, and I've been talking about this, is that the wellness industry now is saturated. It's not uncommon to find a black yoga teacher anymore.
Right.
That's a dime a dozen nowadays, right? Everybody got a wellness platform that centers black women.
Right.
That's happening right now, which is great because we needed that representation, and that's awesome. But what happens now? You now in a pool, in a sea of other people who are doing the same thing as you.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to get more specific, and you do that by reaching in, by going inwards. Just like the practice of yoga, you do that by going inwards and taking a look at, well, what am I passionate about? Am I passionate about the homeless? Maybe you focus on doing, you know, offering yoga in homeless shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're passionate about survivors of domestic violence. And maybe that's your lane, right?
Yeah.
So we have to get more specific. And then when we do, we can really, 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 really thrive. Because we're filling a gap and we're able to meet a need that maybe no one or very few people are meeting. And so that's how you really set yourself up for success, because whenever someone is looking for the thing that you do, they're going to you. So
right.
Establishing yourself as a go-to person for what you do is huge. And you do that by carving yourself a lane.
Mm. You got to carve it because they ain't carving it for you. No, turn this bitch into a pumpkin.
You'll be in a traffic jam.
Period. Okay. You got to turn this hoe
else.
Is a pumpkin, and we're carving. We are carving, nigga. Okay. I don't know what else to say. Angie, my God.
You know what, Angie? You really are so
special,
knowledgeable.
You're a gemstone.
We really appreciate the work that you're doing for the BIPOC community, but also for wellness entrepreneurs because, honey, it's being done.
And it's deeper than, like you mentioned, like you don't just teach yoga. You out here doing it all for real.
Yeah.
It's the, oh God. Every
it's
time
admirable.
I,
there's a lot.
Every time we
there's
do this show, every time we do this show, I learn a little bit more. It's
I
really
know.
Not that we're, I hope people don't think that we know it all because we be on here like, oh wow, light bulb moment just went off. We really
That's
as basic as y'all.
That's why we need to turn the cameras on because if y'all saw the way we react whenever our guests are speaking, they would be like,
okay, they're basic too.
Right.
They would know that we too are basic. Like, damn, we just holding
we're
space.
All learning.
We're just
you know,
holding
none
space.
Of us, the biggest mistake you can make is at least thinking that you have arrived.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm far from arrival. I'm
yeah.
a couple hours out.
Ooh, girl.
I'm on a road trip.
Okay.
Me too.
I'm on
and
a road
you know
trip.
What? Another thing I want to add to the piece around entrepreneurship is that I didn't know all this shit when I first started.
Right.
I figured it out. I had trial and error. I was a student of the game. You got to be a student of the game. Watch what people are doing. You know, like people will ask you, oh, how did you do this? Have you watched? Are you watching? Are you paying attention?
Right.
Yeah.
Are you paying attention?
Period.
Watch what people do, and you can learn so much just by studying game. Like, stop waiting for people to give you all the pieces and take action.
That part.
It's that for me.
It's that.
And you know what else? In the midst of you watching, you got to learn how to flip and tumble. Because we'll be watching and try to emulate, and that's what you can't do.
You cannot.
You know, although you might like your favorite or your favorite podcast does it this way, you don't have to do it that way. Because then that creates the, you know, takes away from the authenticity.
And like Angie said, you have to carve out the lane.
Carve out
you.
The lane using the what you see.
Right.
What you see and then figuring out how
Study
to make it.
Study the game, not the player.
Ooh.
Woo-hoo! And there is another gem.
40 water water with just
sprinkle me.
That was a sprinkle.
Period.
Study the game. Because the game is the game. Right?
Yes.
Be your own player in the game. Study what the game is. Don't study the individual. Because then, like you said, you're not even coming from a place of authenticity. You coming out trying to be like so-and-so. And you got to find what works for you and just know that that is equally valuable.
Yes.
So there's some self-worth that's involved that we got to, you know, some self-worth issues that we have to work through and self-esteem issues we have to work through.
Mm-hmm.
But you build confidence by taking action and then seeing the results of your action. Right?
Flexing the muscle.
Like, y'all probably way more confident now in your podcast than you were the very first episode.
Definitely.
A little confidence has built.
Yeah, we're definitely way more confident.
A little bit of confidence has been built. Not going to say it hasn't. There's more to do.
And it happens through action, you know, by doing.
You're right. You know, flexing the muscle, because it's definitely easier to come on here and talk and we get into a rhythm and a flow because we've done this part. But there's other pieces of the podcast, the business, right? The way you've created a business about yoga that we are attempting to really tap into. And that's the part that takes work for us. And that's where we're going. That's what 2021 mm-hmm. is holding for us. That's the space that we're holding for 2021 is getting about the business of podcasting. Because, I mean, and this is now this part is going to Patreon. Cut this piece, buddy, and take it to Patreon, motherfucker. You got to pay for this. You got to pay to play.
Yeah.
No, honestly, you know, we've been very successful in coming here every week and doing what we would consider the bare minimum. You know, like this is very easy for us to come. Brittany and I have a very natural, what is it called? No,
chemistry.
Yeah. So it's easy for me to come here with my best friend and sit down and talk about things that we like and bring new tea to our homegirls, to our community. But it's not easy to do the other shit. You know what I mean? That's the part that we have to get serious about. And like I mentioned, getting about the business of what we do, because we're doing the hobby. We're doing the fun part of what we do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the shit that's not fun is what we don't want to do, but we have to do it, you know? So it's just funny. You know, it's such a balance and it's really about flexing the muscle. And that was my whole point here is like this part, the recording is easy for us.
Right.
It's the other shit that's not easy. Yeah. But the more we get comfortable flexing that muscle of like, okay, bitch, we got to really do the business part, then we'll reap the rewards and we'll get more and more confident doing it. So, you know, it's just nice to speak to other creatives and other entrepreneurs and other fucking black women in the wellness space doing what it is that we see ourselves doing on different levels. Yeah. You know what I mean? On different levels, because you've been very, very successful doing what it is that you do. And I'm sure that there's so much more for you because that's just inevitable, right? Like you're doing what you have to do. You're doing the work and you're going to reap the benefits. And it's just a pleasure to just connect. And it's just really full circle because I remember when you were down here a couple, what was that, like last year?
Or maybe she was going to come.
It was 2018.
That you were down here and we were going to link with Stefan?
Remember when Stefan linked us?
Yeah, we were supposed to link.
That was 2018?
But I ended up not coming down.
Oh, my God. That is so long ago.
August 2018.
Oh, my God. That's 2 years ago.
Yeah, time flies.
So it's really a full circle moment that we like kind of briefly met and then we've kind of chatted over social and we've had this like kind of distant connection, you know? And then we were like thinking about this series and it's like, oh, Angie would be perfect for this. So it's always nice to connect laterally too. I love that when we connect laterally.
Yes.
It's not always about getting somebody who's like has so many thousands of followers and has this great following and community. Mm. Like lateral connections are really the vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Connecting with the people.
And you get more out of it.
Super vibe.
Yeah. I love it here.
I love it here too.
And I think also, I love it here too. And you know, I will say that also another thing that we need to remember, especially as black women, is that we don't have to do it all by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is like, if there's information that you don't know and there's someone who can help you, pay somebody to mentor you, pay somebody to help, to help you figure out what the fuck you're doing, because it's going to add so much value. You know, like we don't have to just humbug stroll along and pack the struggle on our back and, you know, like let somebody hold the weight for you and guide you and let you know which directions you can take and things. Like, I think that's something else that, you know, that we need to exercise our wallets in the area of investment, especially as black people. We need to understand the value of investment. White people don't blink when they invest. They don't even blink because they understand the value.
Yes.
Okay. You're going to make that and then some.
Right.
You know?
And that's really a paradigm shift.
That is really important.
That's a paradigm shift. That's like a thought process that we have to get out of it. And I know, like, speaking for myself, that is like, we'll be like, we can do it. We can figure it out. We can do it. We can learn it. And like, and it's a way of like black people or like, we're going to make a way out of no way, which is like, you know, we have a tenacious spirit. We're very resilient, but we do have to break out of that, you know,
and that's why they have experts.
Period. Like pay somebody, tap into the community, figure out what it is that you need to get further and move ahead.
And put the money there, because we don't want to hoard our resources. Like, I ain't about to
pay nobody to do this. But it's like, no, that's what she's here for. And invest in her.
Right. To give is to receive. To give is to receive.
Period.
To give is to receive.
Yes.
Keep the energy flowing instead of just hoarding your shit. You holding on to your little chain, scared to give it up. How are you supposed to be in a phase of abundance if you holding on to the little $2 you got and you don't want to invest them in yourself? You know, like, you got to have a bigger vision and just do what you're good at, right? Like, if you can capitalize on your strengths, let somebody else capitalize on their strengths. Yes. I can't tell you how much relief it has brought me to outsource certain things and to finally hire an assistant to help me do certain things has been such a relief and has paid itself off so many times over, because peace of mind for me is critical. Yeah. Right. So especially when you're running a business, you don't want to be all frazzled and overwhelmed, and that's not a space where you can be creative and expand. So, you know, there has to be an understanding of value beyond money. And what is the value that this is giving me that may not be tangible, right?
Yeah. I love that. Angie, you've been a great addition to our day, Saturday.
You got it cracking. Jump started it.
We're feeling motivated. We're feeling inspired. And you know, that's a big part of why we do this show. And it's always nice when it comes around and we feel it, because we do it for the girls. But, you know, it's nice when we also can engage and get the feelings that we're putting out. So thank
feeling
you so
very
much.
Affirmed with our guest selection.
Yes.
This series has been
top notch. Chef's kiss. Yes. Angie, let our girls know where they can find you, what it is, you know, you offer. Just give them your tea.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Thank y'all so much for having me. Yes. I'll come back anytime, and you know, I'm at the retreat.
Period.
Just let a player know.
You know it.
You can find me on Instagram at Afro Yoga by Angie. Just like it sounds, Afro Yoga by Angie, A-N-G-I-E. You can find the website at afroyoga.org, O-R-G. I have an online studio that is $20 a month. In that studio, you get a bunch of pre-recorded yoga classes. I have 4 different styles in there that I teach. You also get free access to the live monthly classes that I do. I do Saturday classes. So you get access to those for free as a member. You also get over 60 plant-based recipes. There's like 13 guided meditations in there. Our podcast episodes are loaded up in there as well. And you get special pricing on our wellness workshops. All for $20 a month.
And we'll be joining.
We'll crazy. Be for
slide through. Would love to have y'all.
Yes.
And then I also have mentorship programs, and I have a yoga B school now. Those are both closed at the moment, but we'll reopen later in the year. Where I work with, you know, teachers of color globally to teach them about the business of yoga and how to develop their offerings and monetize and all those things, branding, a lot of really great stuff. And then we also have for any, you know, I don't know if there's any white folks that listen to this podcast, but if you are a non-black ally or you are, you know, friends or acquaintances with a non-black ally, we have a platform called Afro Yoga Allies. Hmm. That creates anti-racism resources to dismantle white supremacy. And all of the proceeds go to supporting BIPOC yoga teachers. So we're actually doing our very first round of funding in January, where we'll be providing scholarships for aspiring yoga teachers of color to attend a teacher training of their choice.
We love that. All of that will be down in the show notes.
It sure will, homegirls. Y'all know what to do. Angie, thank you again for all of the work that you are doing and that you plan to do. We really appreciate you, and you are a gem in our community.
Yes, we love you, girl.
Thank you. Love y'all back. Appreciate y'all.
Yes, this is so good. Thank you so much. We're going to talk to you soon.
Yes, most definitely. Thank you.
We'll be right back.